Okay, so last time we were discussing the conditions needed to make a Bori Pri Haetz. Our Gemara says one condition, which is a pretty ambiguous condition, and that is that Hecha d'chishak l'slei l'peiri isei l'gavza v'hadar mafik, then it would be a Bori Pri Haetz. The reason why this is ambiguous is because it's not clear how to define gavza. Rashi defines gavza as anaf. So at the very least, according to Rashi, if the branches or maybe the trunk remains from year to year, it would be a Bari Pri Haetz. If the branches die and new growth comes from the roots, it would be a Bari Pri Adama. So for example, according to Rashi, strawberries would be a Bori Pri HaAdamah. Other Rishonim we saw disagree, and they say no, that any time there's growth year after year, then it would be a Haetz. And therefore, a number of Rishonim, like Rabbeinu Tam and the Maharam, said you make a Bori Pri HaEtz on what something seems like is strawberries. The tricky part is what about if there's no branches but there's a trunk? And this we discussed. So that's one makor. Now, the second potential makor that's relevant we saw is cited by the Rush. And the Rush says that there's a Tosefta, and the Tosefta tells us that there's another criteria. The Tosefta tells us that anytime the plant produces leaves which bear fruit from its roots, then it's a Bari Pri HaAdamah. And if it produces leaves that bear fruits from the branches, so then it's a Bari Pri HaEtz. Now, according to this, then strawberries would also be a Bari Pri HaAdamah. He doesn't say that is what emerges from our Gemara, but he says that's what emerges from the Tosafta. But we have potentially two possible conditions, or up to two possible conditions. And we saw that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama, at the very least, mentions this view, and therefore strawberries would be a Bari Pri HaAdamah. We saw that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav basically says there are three Mahalchim and Rishonim, but in the end of the day, we would make a HaAdamah on something like strawberries. So those are the two Mikoros. Now, before we go on to consider the third and the fourth Mikor, it's worthwhile to note that the Makor that the Rush quotes, the second Makor quoted by the Rush, is not in the context of brachos. And the question that we have to ask over here is we have other areas in halacha where we're talking about trees, arla, kilayim, and do we assume that the various areas in halacha have the same definition of a tree? Or might they have different definitions of the tree? So we already saw the Yerushalmi quoted in Tosefta, quoted by Tosfos. Yerushalmi says that sometimes we're mechalek between the different areas. For example, Yerushalmi talks about an atad. Sounds like maybe it's some type of thorn bush that produces berries of some sort. It's machlokas, because we've shown what exactly it is. But the atad, so it's considered an eitz with respect to the laws of kilayim bekarem. Now, what does that mean with respect to the laws of kilayim bekarem? What that would mean is we know that the halacha is that there's an iser in the Torah, lizroa tevuah or yerek next to gefanim, or to be noteya gefen next to tevuah or yerakos. And if you do, so then it becomes Aser behana. That is what the Torah says. Lo sizracha, lo sizra, karmecha kilayim, pentikta shamlea zera shetizra, usvas hakarem. Now, that is only applicable for yerek or tvua, but it doesn't apply to etzim, even if they're small etzim. So therefore, we have to know what is an eitz. Something is an eitz, it won't be a problem. It's not included in the Iser Torah of Kilei Zrayim, or Klei Akerem. So the Yerushalmi says that these things, called the Atad, these bushes, so they are a tree, even though they're a tree with respect to Dinei Kilayim, but you still make a Bari Pri Adama. So why would we be Mechalek? Why would we have a different definition? So we have a number of possibilities. One possibility is that we only make a Bari Pri Ha'etz on the Iker HaPri. And not only that, like we saw before, according to a number of Rishonim, it's only when it's not the Adal Kedahachi. So let's take example of the Rambam. The Rambam we saw says you make a Bari Pri Adama on Pilpili Retivta. Now Pilpili Retivta, Pilpili are definitely a tree. They're Shayach to Arla and the like. The reason why I make Adama is because this isn't a normal way of eating. It's Lonati Adaita Dahachi, as the Rashba explains. So Grochos, it's not the case that the only criteria is whether this is a tree or not. It might be a tree, but the proper bracha is Bari Pri Adama. And that could be one way to understand the Yerushalmi. Another possibility is that the bracha doesn't depend on whether this is an eitz or not, but the bracha depends on whether this is a pri ha'etz. Whereas the question of kilayim, let's say, the question is whether this is an eitz. So those are two possible distinctions. Now, going with that in mind, let's go back to the Rush. So the Rush goes ahead and he derives from the Tosefta, which is talking about Arla, a halacha to Hilchos Brachos. So what do you see? At least you see that the Rush holds that we could, whatever is a tree, whatever is a pri ha'etz with respect to Arla, will be a pri ha'etz with respect to Brachos. Now, the Yerushalmi is machalik. So it could be the answer is that we're going to be machalik between Arla versus Kilayim. If it's a pri ha'etz linyan Arla, then it'll be a pri ha'etz linyan bracha. But with respect to Kilayim or machalik, the Ritvan Sukkah, Lamed Hei Amid Aleph, writes as follows. It's actually the same Gemara that we saw earlier, that Pilpulin Chayavin are Arla. And the Rosh, the Ritva asks, Kashali, Lama Likra, Thamai Gara Mishari Lanos. In other words, why do I even need a pasuk to teach me that pepper is Shayach and Arla? So he quotes Rashi, who says, well, I might have thought that because peppercorns grow on very low bushes. So maybe I would think that it's Pater and Arla, because what's a tree with respect to Arla? A tall tree. But these little low-lying bushes, they wouldn't be subject to Arla. That's what Rashi said. The Ritva says that's wrong, because there's not even a Havamina that height plays any role in terms of the defining of a tree. It's nothing to do with height. So therefore, why do you even need a pasuk to say Pilpul Yishchayv and Arla? Klalo shel davar, kol sheyesh lo eitz kayem sheno sein pri, v'choz v'no sein pri acher, hu atzmo, zehu ilan linyan Arla u'linyan brirkas bari pri ha'etz, Arla and Brachos have the same halachos. So this is like the Rush. The Rush and the Ritva, so why would you think peppercorn is different? Because it's not really a pre, because you don't eat it. You don't eat it, at least normally, when nobody starts eating a peppercorn. And therefore you would think, just like we think that it might be a shahakal bracha, in fact, many hold it is a shahak, So too, you might have thought it's pater from Arla. So fundamentally, at the very least, brachos and Arla, the Ritva says, are the same. And more or less, that's what the Rush is saying over here as well. Now, the Ritva, though, interestingly, in our sugya says that we don't learn from Kilayim. The Ritva brachos mem amud aleph writes, davkel inyan pirio, this halacha is true. I ikalach shuve pri ha'etz olo. Have a high klala, alin kilayim, iikalach shuve yarek, o ilan, dinach rina islahu. So the Ritva and Rush both basically say that we're going to put Arla together with brachos, but not kilayim. Now, doesn't mean Arla is 100% totally in brachos, like we said. Pilpili retivta, let's say yaveshta, is subject to Arla, even though it's not a bari pri ha'etz, but that's only on technical grounds because it's not normal to eat. But Fundamentally, Arul and Brachos have the same dinim. Kilayim have different dinim. Why would this be different? So l'chora, the reason is very simple, I think. Not really holding in these halachos of Kilayim or Arla, but it seems to me that what they're saying is the difference is as follows. The question legabe Arla is whether this is a pri, right? And that's why, for example, when it comes to Arla, something could be a product of a tree, but not be subject to the laws of Arla, because it's not a pri. Whereas the question with, and that same thing is true for Bari Pri Ha'etz. The question for Bari Pri Ha'etz is this a Pri Ha'etz? And you make the bracha Bari Pri Ha'etz. Whereas the question by Kilayim is not whether this is a Pri or Pri Ha'etz. The question is this an Eitz? So we have two Shilas. When it comes to Kilayim, our question is this an Eitz or is it not Ha'etz? When it comes to both Arla and Brachos, our question is whether it's a Pri Ha'etz or not. Okay. So again, so far, at least according to the Rosh, we have two conditions. That's what we have in Chazal. Maybe one condition, our Gemara Brachos, or maybe the Rosh says the Tosefta by Arla. Are there any other conditions? So as we noted, both of the two criteria cited by the Rosh and the Paskin and Shulchan Aruch come from Chazal. So the Rishon, the Radvaz, was the first one to ask about eggplant. And we'll see eggplant and papaya are similar bracha, similar shilas. So what bracha should you make on papaya? Now, the papaya doesn't have to be replanted every year, and its stem remains intact throughout the entire winter. So l'chora, it should be a Bari Pri Ha'etz, the papaya. Now, there's maybe you'll say, and the Rav Pa'alim brings this up, maybe you'll say that, well, yeah, but the fruit grows from new sections of the tree each year, right? In other words, it doesn't grow from the old sections. It only grows from the new sections. But the postman said that's irrelevant. Even though the Gemara, you might have read the Gemara very literally, the same branch has to produce fruits year after year, in which case papaya would be a Bari Pri Adama. He says, no, that's not what it means. As long as there are branches of this tree producing fruits year after year, it's still going to be a Bari Pri Ha'etz. The fact that the very same branch won't produce fruit, but since the trunk basically remains intact from year after year, and the tree produces new fruits year after year, it should really be a Bari Pri Ha'etz. So based off of everything we said, the papaya and the eggplant should both be a Bari Pri Ha'etz. And that's what the Radvaz himself thought until he made Aliyah. The Radvaz, remember, originally was in Mitzrayim, and he thought it would be a Bari Pri Ha'etz. And the problem is like this. The problem is that if you think that the papaya is a Bari Pri Ha'etz, then you probably wouldn't be able to eat it in Eretz Yisrael. Why? It doesn't last very long. And therefore, or as I said, he's actually talking about the eggplant. Therefore, probably most of the fruit would be Arla. At the very least, it would be Safek Arla. Meaning to say most fruits, typically, let's say you have an apple and you don't know, is this apple Arla or not? So the vast majority of apples are not going to be Arla. Why? Maybe none of them, because most trees don't produce fruit so quickly. And therefore, yes?
Daddy, Cuba.
I'm in the middle of Shirzi Skate. Okay, sorry. Most trees take several years before they produce fruits. And even if occasionally, let's say there might be a couple that are Arla, but overall, I see this apple, I have no idea where it's from, I could definitely assume it's not Arla. But when it comes to something like the papaya or the eggplant, so those produce fruits right away. The first year they produce fruits. Moreover, and again, this depends somewhat on growing conditions, but they don't produce fruits for very long, only for 3, 4, or 5 years, in which case the majority are certainly going to be Arla, or at the very least, it's a Safek Arla. Now, in the Chutz Laaretz, it's Mutter. Safek Arla is Mutter. But in Eretz Yisrael, a papaya is Aser. So Radvaz goes ahead, comes to Eretz Yisrael, and everybody knows, like in Eretz Yisrael, everything, Chatzilim, that's like the big thing. You have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So he sees everybody eating these eggplants, or as they call them in Arab, Arabic, Bidingan, and he's wondering what in the world is going on. And we should note that when we say everybody, he doesn't just mean like the Hamonam, right? Who did the Radvaz meet when he came to Eretz Yisrael? Rav Yosef Karo, the Arizal, Rav Chaim Vital, the Alshech. These are the ones that the Birkei Yosef writes, the Chida writes that the Radvaz saw eating these eggplants. So obviously, says the Radvaz, there must be some explanation for this. There must be some reason why they're treating this as a vegetable, basically, and not a fruit. So what would that be? So the Radvaz says, you know what? There's going to be a new condition, a third condition. A tree is something that if you plant it that year, it doesn't produce fruits on the first year it's planted. Anything that produces fruits the first year it's planted, we will not call a pre-haitz. And therefore, these papayas, these eggplants will be A, not subject to the laws of Arla, B, boi pri hadama. That's what the Radvaz says. Now, the Chazon Ish, Arla Perek Yud Beis Sifkan Gimel, says this is like a little shner, because there's no Makor in a Gemara for this. Can you really make up a Tanai? Okay, I understand. Great tzaddikim were eating this stuff, but you can't make up a Tanai of your own. But then he says, maybe we could say that the Yerushalmi is a Makor for this. I don't want to go into the details, but there's a question exactly how to read the Yerushalmi, but possibly there is a Makor for this in the Yerushalmi. The Ben Ish Chai cites all this. This is, as I said, in the Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim. It's Chelek Beis in Or HaChaim Siman Lamed. And he also paskens like the Radvaz, that it's mutter, that papaya is treated like a vegetable, and therefore it's not subject to the laws of Arla, and the proper bracha is Bari Pri Hadama. And he brought another raya to be Mekel. His raya is from the Baal Hochos Ketanos, who says that Mipnei She'et Shelo Chalul Bifnim, Ve'eno Doma Le'et Zilano. So this we could call condition number four, that it's not enough that it has a trunk, but it has a full trunk. And the chatzilim, the eggplant, has a trunk that's hollow. And therefore, it's not considered a tree. And Rav Pa'alim says, it makes sense. Mstadra de simen ms uzeh. That's, again, this is an even bigger chiddush, because there's no makor at all for this in Shas. But the Ben Ish Chai thought that this is a mistaber dika condition. Now, there's another reason to be mako on these shilas, and that is that, at least on many of them, if we weren't mako, then there's no way to permit this species, let's say the eggplant, in consumption at all, because it will always be Arla. The eggplant does not produce fruits for more than 3 years. So if you're going to say that it's a tree, then you're basically saying it's Aser. Now, there were those that say that. The Kaftar Vaferach in Perek Nun Vav says, Taka, the eggplant is Aser. It's Aser. The Chazon Ish writes, same as we said, cited above, it's very schwer. What is this? Even that might have been mutter at one point. Doesn't make sense. There's going to be a plant that's always usher, at least on a fundamental level. That svara will apply to eggplants, though not necessarily to papayas. Under favorable conditions, papayas produce fruits for 5 years. So we don't have that additional svara to be mako for papayas. And therefore, papayas, there are many poskim who are very hesitant to say that they should be treated as a pre-haitz. It's not like a vegetable. It's not even like the eggplant. The papaya tree is sturdier than the eggplant trees, than the eggplant tree, as we said. It's not like the eggplant that it could be, you know, it could be produced fruits after the third year. And therefore, many poskim, especially Ashkenazi poskim, are machmir on eggplants. And they say, first of all, it should be treated as arla if it's within the first 3 years. It would be at least misafek ebor priyadama. Lamaisa, all the conditions that we know of in Chazal explicitly and in Rishonim prior to the Radvaz, all would say this is a Bori Pri Ha'etz. And therefore, midei safek lo nafka. So you could be mekel in chutz la'aretz to have papaya, because safek arlo chutz la'aretz is mutter, but not in Eretz Yisrael. They should at least be treated as safek arlo. This is the psak of the Minchas Yitzchak. It's the psak of Rav Sternbach and the like. So I remember once I was at a chasana with Rav Stav, and so if you're with Rav Stav, you know, like he's going to eat anything. He only eats fruits and vegetables. We went to see, like to the reception to see if there's anything for him to eat. And there was a fruit platter. So I said, oh, look, a fruit platter. And then he looks at it and he sees on this fruit platter, there's papaya. So I see he looks very serious. He's concerned. And then he smiled. The whole thing took about, you know, half a second. First, he looked concerned and then he smiled. So I asked him, what's going on? So he said that I saw the papaya and I was worried because a good hechsher won't allow papaya. We'll see, there are those who are matir, but many, many, many are machmir. And among other things, he was the Masader Kiddushin. But Willig always says one of the jobs of the Masader Kiddushin is to make sure that you could eat the food, that the hechsher on the food is good. So he was concerned that they were serving papayas. And then he remembered, but we're in chutz la'aretz. Chutz la'aretz, safek arla's mutter. So papayas and chutz la'aretz are certainly okay. But many are hesitant about papayas in Eretz Yisrael. However, Rav Avadia, in, among other things, Yechavadas Dalad Nun Beis, is Mekel. He says, no, we fully embrace the sheet of the Radvaz, of the Ben Ish Chai. It's also the view of Mordechai Eliyahu. Papayas in Eretz Yisrael are not a chashash arla, and therefore it would be okay. So it would be a Borei Pri Hadama and mutter to eat. So in Chutz La'aretz, what would you do? In Chutz La'aretz, you should probably make Hadama Misafek, and it's mutter in Eretz Yisrael. So then it depends. If you are a follower of Piskei Rav Avadia, then you'd make a Hadama and you could eat it. If you're a follower of some of the other poskim that we mentioned, so then unless there's a hechsher certifying that it's not arla, you should avoid it. And the chutzlar should make hadama.
Rav Willig and Rav Shachter, what do they think?
I don't know. I don't know what they said. I'm not sure. Is there a fourth condition, right? Again, we had so far three conditions. The third condition was from the Radvaz that it doesn't produce fruits on its first year. A fourth possible condition, what about height? Does height play any role? So according to Rashi, at the very least, it was a havamina. We saw Rashi in Sukkah said that the reason why we need a drasha to say pilpul and are subject to arla is because they're very low. But at the end of the day, kamash malon, we have a pasuk that it is subject to arla, so maybe it doesn't make any difference. And as we mentioned, Tosfos and the Ritva both said you don't even need a gzeres hakasa for height. So l'chora it seems pashut that height is irrelevant. And the only havamina that pepper isn't arla is because, like we said, it's not really raylachila on its own. So that's what I would have thought. But if you look at the Mishnah Berura, he writes that this isn't so pashut. The Mishnah Berura Sifkat and Gimel, and he quotes the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam says, "Azay uperos shegdelim al ilanos ketanos af shegovham pachos megimel tfachim kegon yagdish." Shchorim, maybe those are blackberries. Das Hamagen Avram, the Oud, Kama Achronim, Levar Chaleim Bari Pri Ha'etz. As Hamagen Avram says, yeah, height is irrelevant. These are bushes, but they produce fruits from year after year on the same branches. Of course, it's a Pri Ha'etz. Ach Olam Nogen Levar Bari Pri Adama. The Minhag Olam is to make a Bari Pri Adama. V'Afshar the time mam the Lo Chashivi Kol Kach Pri. What does that mean? Not so clear. Rav Moshe quotes this Mishnah Berura, and he writes, that's not the minhag. the minhag is to make a bar priya. It's like the Magen Avraham. Moshe writes, "B'makom shelo yadua minhag." If you know the minhag is to make a dama, fine. But stam, you don't know, you never heard of the minhag. Now nobody eats these things because of talaim anyway. But if there's no minhag yadua, yesh levarich bar priya. It's fine. The fact that they're less than three tefachim is irrelevant. Others are not so clear. Shlomo Zalman is quoted as paskening that on a cranberry, you should make a bar priya dama because it's less than three tefachim, like the Mishnah Berurah writes. I have a picture here of cranberries. You'll see, if you look in them, they grow quite low to the ground. So there's a debate. This comes up with craisins, for example. Now, what about bananas and pineapples? So they are in Sif Gimel of the Shulchan Aruch. Again, we're in Simen Reish Gimel, Sif Gimel. They're called Maizish, and the Shulchan Aruch writes on Maizish, you make a Bari Priya Dama. And bananas are apparently Maizish. Now, what's the idea? So the Ramah explains that here again, we're talking about a case where the tree collapses in the winter and the new growth comes from the roots. So it could be that according to Rabbeinu Tam and the Maharam, you would make a height, but we don't paskin that way, as we saw. We paskin whether it's Bataras Vade or Bataras Safek, that these things are Bari Pri Adama. So pineapples and bananas are Bari Pri Adama. Okay, so we're going to go on in the Gemara. That concludes, at least for now, the discussion on the definition of pre-Hayitz versus pre-Adama. Turning to the top of Mem Amud Beis, so there is a machlokas in the Amorayim about whether shahakal works on bread and wine. In other words, the Mishnah says that shahakal works for everything. If you make a shahakal instead of a bari pre-Adama, or by your name is Onos, but the Avid, it works. What about on bread and wine? So the question is, why wouldn't shahakal work? And you could imagine two svaros, either because bread and wine are chashav, or it's because the bracha on bread and wine is chashav. In other words, hamotzi and hagafen are chashav, right? What's the pshat in the tzad, and the tzad, as you said, machlokas amorayim, the tzad that shakal doesn't work? Is it because of the chashivas of the food or chashivas of the bracha? That's my first question. My second question is on Rashi. Rashi tells us the tzad that it doesn't work, and he says something interesting. If you just take a look at Rashi, Mem on the base, top of the page, so Rashi writes, what's the tzad that it doesn't work? Chutz min hapasu min hayayin kedla kaman, Shagorim brachos harbe la'atzmo, v'kiddush, uv'havdala, uv'birkas chasanim. So wine is going bracha la'atzmo. We use wine at kiddush, havdala, weddings. So Rashi is difficult on two levels. First of all, why didn't Rashi quote the Gemara earlier that told us why is it that Bari Pri Agafen and Hamot Lachman Arts have their own bracha? Why did he quote this Gemara later on? Especially because this Gemara only relates to wine, right? You don't, you know, never been to a wedding where they took out some bread. Okay. Maybe Kiddush is a Shiloh, Friday night Kiddush. Can you make Kiddush on Pas or not? Machlokas Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam says you can't. Other Rishonim say you can. But I don't think Birchas Kasanim or other things, Havdalah, can't make that on Pas. So why does Rashi, A, quote this Gemara as opposed to the Gemara in our parak at the beginning, and B, you know, his reasons all seem to relate to wine, not to bread. So perhaps the answer to the second question is that this Gemara is more relevant because it's telling us that Hamotzi covers all food besides wine, because wine is going la'atzmo, bracha la'atzmo. And what Rashi is saying is, well, if Hamotzi doesn't cover wine, then certainly Shahakal doesn't cover wine. Because a mochi really should cover wine. After all, assuming that the wine is coming machmas asuda, it should be covered, and it doesn't. So, and that's because the Gemara says wine is going brachla atzmo. So that's what Rashi says. So what about bread? Right, after all, what Rashi says is only relevant to wine, not bread. Bread isn't going brachla atzmo. So presumably the answer is that the tzad, that charcoal doesn't work for food, is because of the chashivas of food, right? We said at the beginning, is the reason for Rav Huna that charcoal doesn't work on wine and bread, is that because of the chashivas of the food or chashivas of the bracha? So the answer is it's because of the chashivas of the food. So therefore, bread surely is chashav, it's the staff of life. That's why it gets its own bracha. For wine, it's less obvious. It's less obvious if it's chashav. We could live without wine. So Rashi says wine too is chashav. The haraya, hamotzi doesn't cover it. Why? Because it's going bracha la'atzmo, which means that we drink wine not just because we're thirsty, but because of the mitzvah. Now, how does that show that it's chashav? So the idea is that something that's chashav isn't going to be tafeled to something else. So when the Gemara says that wine isn't tafeled to bread and therefore needs its own bracha, it's saying wine too is a chashav food. Now, what's interesting to think about, so that's the answer perhaps to our questions. What's interesting to think about is that we said the reason that a generic bracha, like a shahakal, if you say it, it removes the iser me'ila, right? The iser of asa lam zmalam alam azablo bracha. Ideally, you should say the specific bracha, but at least the me'ila is gone. So according to Rav Huna, that doesn't work here. Apparently, because the food is chashav, it demands a precise bracha. But Rav Yochanan, as we know, disagrees with this, and we paskin like Rav Yochanan. So we paskin in the end of the day that despite the chashivas of bread and wine, shahakal will still work. The Rishonim in the next Gemara talk about a very interesting question. There's a debate in the Gemara about what parts of a bracha are mandatory. And we paskin, according to almost all Rishonim like Rav Yochanan, that a bracha minimally has to have shemu malchus. So the Rishonim over here ask, but what about Birkas Avos? In Shmona Esrei, there is no malchus, right? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Eloheinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Yaakov. There's no Melech HaOlam. So why is it valid? So I found at least five answers to this in the Rishonim. Really, I would say two sets of two, and then a third. And what I mean by two sets of two is very fascinatingly, they're opposites of each other. And I guess it's especially nice to talk about this today because it's Parshas HaShavua. It's Parshas HaShavua for Lech Lecha and Vayera. So what are these different answers? So the first answer to this question could be found in Tosfos and Ar Sugya. Tosfos writes on Mem Amud Beis that there is Malchus. Where's the Malchus? When we say Elokei Avraham, how is Elokei Avraham Malchus? Because Avram was Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Why? Shodiyah Malchuso. In other words, as the Rush puts it, before Avram Avinu came along, it was just Hashem was Elokei HaShemayim. And when Avram was Modiyah Malchuso Ba'olam, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now Elokei HaShemayim, Elokei HaAretz. And therefore, when we say Elokei Avram, we're saying Hashem is Melech HaOlam. That's the way Toso says it on Mem Amud Beis. On Mem Tes Amud Aleph, Toso says the same answer with a slightly different kinach, which is interesting as well. He says there, Elokei Avraham is Malchus, because we say, Mishanivra Ha'olam, Lohaya Adam Shekaro LaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon, Ad Sheba Avraham Shekaro Adon. Who is the first person to call Hashem Adon? I'll give you a hint. We just read it a couple days ago. Aaron, for $500, it's not, you don't even need Rashi. Not $500 for me, from the test that you take. No? Who's the first person to call Hashem Adon?
Eliezer.
Avram Avinu. Hashem Elokim Bameida. How do you spell Hashem Elokim? In the Bris Ben HaBesarim, right? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. No one in the history of the world ever called Hashem Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Adon, until Avram Avinu. So this is the same answer in Tosfos, but it's very interesting because, as we said, it's two different kinaches. Our Tosfos says Hashem, Avram Avinu, was the first to be Mamlech Hashem by being Modia Malchuso. In other words, it's Klape Acherim. Tosus on Mem Tesamet Aleph says Klape Atzmo. He was the first one to be Makir. Hashem was Adon Kol, Melech, Adon Kol Aretz. So that's answer number one, that we do say Malchus and Avos when we say Elokei Avram. Answer number two is from the Kolbo. It's also cited in the Meiri. And it's the exact opposite of Tosfos. It's fascinating. What does he say? Ha'il ulizchiras avos huskina v'kodim zmanam lo haisa malchuso meforsemes b'fi habrios lo izkiru b'malchus. What is he saying? He's saying, why don't we need malchus in avos? Because at the time of the avos, Hashem wasn't the melech. Why? Lo haisa malchuso meforsemes b'fi habrios. So what changed? Why do we say Malach HaOlam nowadays, right? Nowadays, does everybody believe in God? Say, at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, time of Matan Torah, they said Malach HaOlam, right? I would imagine that Ruba de Ruba of the world were still polytheists at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what was different? So what was different was that now there was an Am. Ein Melech below Am. Avram Avinu Avada, he recognized that Hashem was Melech HaOlam. But, what? But he was a Yachid. And Avram Avinu, like Ramban says, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, he went around and preached, told everybody about monotheism. But who did he affect? Yachidim. When was there an Am? When was there a Melech? Klal Yisrael. So, the Kolbo, as we said, is the opposite answer of Tosfos. Tosfos says, we do say Malchus in Avos. What's the Malchus? Okay, Avram. The Kolbo says, no. Bizman Avos, there wasn't a Melech. Hashem wasn't Melech HaOlam in a sense. Therefore, we don't need Malchus. Unbelievable. And that, by the way, relates to the Ramban at the beginning of the Parsha. Aaron would appreciate it. Why only Avram and Yitzchak said, it says about them, Ma'ikra B'Shem Hashem, not Yankif. Because already Yankif was the beginning of an Am, right? That's like the Kuzari explains. He was all of his Mitaso Shlema. It was the beginning of, the beginnings of a nation were with Yankif. Shivim Nefesh, et cetera. Okay, so far we have two answers. Answer one, we do say Melech HaOlam when we say Elokei Avram. Answer two, because it's about the Avos, we don't need Malchus because Hashem wasn't the Melech in a sense at that time. Answer number three, we do say Malchus, but what do we do it? At the end, when we say Melech Ozer Umoshi Umagein. What do you mean? What's everybody saying we don't say Malchus? Sure we do. Melech Ozer Umoshi Umagein. So why don't all the other Rishonim say this, right? We do say Melech. Isn't that an obvious answer? So Luchar, the other Rishonim, either hold that it has to be part of the Bracha component, not the middle of the Bracha. In other words, you have to mention Malchus, you know, if you sort of, let's say with the Bracha Ruka, at the very least, there's three parts of the bracha. There's the psicha, there's the guf ha-bracha, and then there's the chasima. So the malchus has to be mentioned as part of the opening of the bracha, not in the guf ha-bracha. Alternatively, no. Maybe melech ozer moshim again isn't malchus. Why? Especially if you learn like Tosfos. Tosfos says it's not enough to just say malchus. What do you need? You need melech ha-olam. Right? Melech Ozer Moshim again says Hashem helps people. He saves them. He redeems them. But it doesn't say he's Melech HaOlam. So maybe that's why they don't like this answer. But anyway, some Rishonim say we do say Malchus when we say Melech Ozer Moshim again. The Rosh says we say Malchus when we say Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Anora. That's also Malchus. In other words, you don't need to say Malchus. Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Anora is the same thing. What are we saying? God is Gadol HaGibor V'Anora. And finally, answer number five, which we alluded to a couple of shiurim ago, is the Meiri. The Meiri writes that why don't you have Malchus? Shelo nemras kars Malchus ela b'bracha nases al bria sa'olam or on mitzvos. Kolomar shu gozer v'osek yirtzono. In other words, bria sa'olam, like brachos, bari pri ha'etz, or mitzvos, which we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech. He's gozer, we listen. But Avos, that has nothing to do malchus, and therefore you don't need malchus. This might explain Akasha that a number of Rishonim have. There are a number of brachos that are also missing malchus besides these ones, like Tzvi al-Sadarach or the like. According to Meiri, it's very meduyuk, because you only need malchus if either it's relating to Bria Sa'olam, like Birkas Hananin, or relating to, which relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech, the Borei, and therefore the Melech, or they relate to him as Melech, like Birkas HaMitzvos, that he's Mitzvah, and therefore the Melech. But if you have a bracha like Avos, which isn't Birkas Mitzvah, it doesn't relate to the Asylum, then Mimela, you don't need Malchus. That's a Miri over here. Okay, now the main sugya I want to talk about today is the sugya on Daf Mem on the base. And what I want to talk about is, A, what is minimally necessary for a bracha? And this is relevant, like you miss words in a bracha. Do you have to say the bracha again? Sometimes you're listening to somebody say Abdallah or Kiddush and they like mumble a bunch of words. You know, what's minimally necessary for a bracha? I also want to talk about the lachos of brachos in translation. And also Safik brachos, specifically Safik brachos, could you resolve that problem by saying a bracha in English? So we'll just read the Gemara very quickly, and then we'll talk about how we paskin. So the Gemara says, Ra pas, v'amar kamana pasu, baruch ha-makam shebra'a, yatsa. Ra teina v'amar kamana teina zu, baruch ha-makam shebra'a, yatsa. Divrei Reb Meir, Reb Yossi Omer, kol mishamim mimat beya, shetavu chachamim bebrachos, lo yatsa yidecho vasa. So you have machlokas. Reb Meir says, you could say your own nosach, baruch ha-makam shebra'a, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, kol mishana, it's invalid. Sort of like Rabbi Meir says by Gittin. Then we have a lovely story. Binyamin Raya, karach rifta v'amar baruch mare dehai pita. Is that good enough? Rav says, yatza. Aye, but don't you need shame? Yeah, you said baruch rachmana mare dehai pita. Aye, don't you need shalosh brachos? The Gemara is assuming that we're talking about bracha achrona here, which is an interesting question why we assume it. And the Gemara says, Taka, you're Yotze, the first bracha, not two and three. Okay, we'll have to return to that. What do you need, right? Because you said very little in bracha Rishon. All you said is bracha marid hai pita, right? You don't actually say that at all in the first bracha benching. Hazanah salon kolog devo b'chim chazav rachmim. Where is marid hai pita? Okay, well, I'd like to get back to that if we have time. So then the Gemara says, so my kamash malan? So the Gemara says, oh, because he said it in Aramaic. It's not Lashon HaKodesh. That's not a chiddush. Because I know you could say things b'chol lashon, parsha sota, vidui meiser, kriyash matfila, berkas hamazon. You're allowed to say berkas hamazon in English. There's no chiddush there. So no, the havamina is that it's pashut that if you say berkas hamazon in English as a translation of the Hebrew, that's pashut your yotze. But right, if you read the art scroll, for sure your yotze. Truth is, it's not so for sure. We're going to argue in a couple minutes that if you Davin in English from an art school, you're not Yotze, but we'll get there shortly. But if you eat it from the art school, Pasha, you're Yotze. The Chiddush over here is that you didn't, you said it in English, not in the Lashon Shetiknu Rabbanan, right? You didn't translate benching into English. All you said was what? Baruch Rachmana Marid Haipita. And nevertheless, you're Yotze. That's the Chiddush of Binyamin Raya. Now, is that true only according to Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Yossi? Pashas only according to Meir. That's what some Rishonim say, but that too isn't so Pashas. We'll have to see in a moment. In other words, is Binyamin Raya just a manifestation of Rav Meir? Another example of Rav Meir? Or is it possibly different? So how do we paskin? So the Rosh says we paskin like Rav Meir, that the nusach of the bracha is not ma'akev. And we also paskin like Binyamin Raya. So what's the minimum that you need in a bracha? So if we look, first of all, Tosfos over here says you need ha'olam. It's not just even enough to say melech, you need ha'olam. The Taz in Siman Reisha test quotes from Talmid of Rabbeinu Yonah that you also need to say Elokeinu. But the mashmos of the Gemara doesn't sound that way, because the Gemara doesn't say anything about Elokeinu. It says you need Rachmana. Where's Elokeinu? Sabir Halacha Simen Kuf Samach Zayin, Dibur Maschil Baruch Rachmana, writes that the other post can disagree with Rabbeinu Yonah and disagree with the Taz, and Rachmana is good enough. In other words, you don't have to, even though in Hebrew we say Hashem Elokeinu, obviously that's better, but if you said a shame like Rachmana, that's good enough. Fine. Other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, as we said. They don't even need Ha'olam. Okay. So, but before we go back, get too much into those details, the basic halacha, who do we paskin like? So the Rosh says we paskin like Remeir, we paskin like Binyamin Raya. The Rif, though, skips the whole story of Binyamin Raya. If you look at the Rivav on the side of the page, it sounds like it must be that he paskins like Reb Yossi, that kol mishana mimatbeya lo yatza. And this might be the psak of the Rambam. The Rambam's actually quite unclear, but the Rambam did not quote Baruch Rachman v'chulei. And it sounds like the Rambam is paskining like Reb Yossi, that kol mishana mimatbeya lo yatza. That sounds like, I don't know if there's a good dirk or not, it sounds like the view of the Ein Mishpat, if you see where he puts a letter. He puts a letter not to the Rambam, but where he puts it, and also sends you to the Shulchan Aruch, not to the Rambam. So the Ein Mishpat probably learned that the Rambam paskens like the Rif. The Kesef Mishnah, though, has two Perushim in the Rambam, whether or not the Rambam's paskening like Binyamin Raya. The question is there a third level in the Rambam? L'chatchila, you shouldn't be Mishana, but b'dievet, it works. There's also a big machlokas on the Farshim over here that we don't have time today to get into it, whether the Rambam is machalik between Hilchos Brachos and Birkas Kriyashma. The Ramach raises a stira, because in Birkas Kriyashma is definitely machmir nishayil, even b'dievet. Hilchos Brachos, it doesn't sound that way. The Kesef Mishnah denies the stira. There's a very famous shtickle tira from the Rav, I think it's a Yartzeit Drasha, where the Rav said that, no, really, he's Makel, the Rambam's Makel, but Hilchos Birkas Kriyashma is different. Why? The Rav had a shtickel that Birkas Kriyashma is almost like the way Rabbi Shechter says it, at least, is Kriyashma de Rabbanan. In other words, you're supposed to say Shema with the Brachos. The Brachos are almost part of Shema. Rabbi Shechter likes to point out the first of the three Birkas Kriyashma, the first Bracha is Keneged Shema, the second Bracha is Keneged the Haya, and the third Bracha, Geula Yitzias Mitzrayim, is connected to the third Parsha. Not only that, but the Rambam says an interesting idea. The Rambam holds that even though generally the Rambam is of the view that if you have a suffix, if you did a mitzvah or not, you have to do the mitzvah again. If it's suffix deresel chumra, but you don't say bracha. When it comes to Kriyashma, he says you do say Birkas Kriyashma. So Birkas Kriyashma are integrated. That's why it's such a big loss, according to the Rav and the Vilna Gaon, if you go ahead and you're davening a minyan that says Shema later, so you have to say Shema without brachos first, you've given up the proper way to say the mitzvah Shema. But anyhow, so maybe that's why Birkas Kriyashma is different. Okay, I don't want to get into that now. Maybe when we go to the other parts of Brachos, we'll return to that question. But Bekitzur, there's Machlokas and two Deos in the Kesef Mishnah himself, how to read the Rambam. How does Shulchan Aruch paskin? So if you look at Simon Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Yud, Shulchan Aruch writes in the Malkum Birkas Amotzi Birech Baruch Rachman and Malka Mari Dehai Pita Yatza. So we have to ask a following question. This is a Geshmaka Shaila. So you could say a bracha in English, in Aramaic, right? So the Pesachei Tshuva, quoting from the Tshuvas pre-Tavua, this is in Yoredeya, Simen Shinchav Chesiv Katan Aleph, has a Gevaldika Eitza. He says, anytime you have a suffik brachos, we have a million suffik brachos, we always say suffik brachos lahakel, so you can't say the bracha. So he quotes a Pnei Yeshua brachos, dafiyad beis, a great etza. Just say, Baruch Rachmana Asher Tzivanu Lahafrish Chala. There he's talking about a suffik in Chala, right? You don't know, you made a Chala with 3 pounds of flour, you're not sure, suffik Shir Chala, suffik not Shir Chala. So just say, Baruch Rachmana, say the bracha in Aramaic. We're Yotze. So what's he saying? He's doing the following. He's saying it's the best of both worlds. There's no chash of bracha levatala, but you're Yotze the bracha. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. Now the Pesachei Tshuva says, hold on. Maybe not. Maybe if you're Yotze the bracha, then it would be a shayla of a bracha levatala. Along similar lines, the Stei Chemed, in Ma'areches Brachos Simen Aleph Chelek Vav on page 427, quotes from the Yismach Lev. This is an unbelievable Eitzah. He says, let's say you have, he's talking about the Suffolk Pidyon Petar Chamor, I think. He says, you're unsure, Suffolk, whether you make a Rach or not. So he says, I have a great Eitzah for you. open up to the Tor, and you read the Simon Shin Chaf Aleph in the Tor, which is about Hilchos Pidyon Bechor, and after it goes through the halachos, the Tor says, Lafikach miyad k'shemafrisho mevarech baruch atah Hashem alokeinu melech olam ha-shekechanu mitzvotav tivanu al pidyon petach hamor. Gevaldik, that's my etza, right? I just read the Tor. I read the whole Simon. And inside the Simon is what? The bracha. So you're allowed to read the Simon. Right? Nobody ever said you can't read Simon Shin Chaf Aleph in the Tor. And Memela, if I'm Chayev, I'm Yotze. And if not, I'm not Yotze. Because if it's Potter from Pidyon, it's okay. It's Kekayra B'Torah. And this is a great Eitzah to solve Bracho Shailas. Now, it's funny. He says it only helps if the Tor happens to say the whole Bracha. Right? In some simanim, the Torah doesn't write out the whole bracha. In some simanim, the Torah writes the whole bracha. Bracha tashem kenu mechulam. So if you could find a Torah, if you could find in the Sefer, I don't know, in the Rambam, or in the Gemara, where it says the whole nesachav bracha, then you have a great etza to get out of it. Now, again, the Pnei Yeshua, the Yismach Moshe, what are they all assuming? They're saying that it's possible to be yotzei a bracha without having a chashash bracha levatala, right? The two things aren't linked. Chashash bracha levatala is either only when it's in Hebrew or only shelo bederech limud. Now, there are those who don't like this dechemet. They say, no, maybe when you're learning, you can't say shemu malchus. You have to say Hashem. But the Yaivitz really likes this. The Yaivitz is chelek aleph, sin, and pe aleph. And he writes that it's okay. It's also Marshan Brachos Davav. The Gemara says, "Minayin Shafilu Achad Sheyoshev Osek B'Tayra Sheshchina Imo Shenemar B'Chol Makom Hashaskir Hashem Yavoy Lachav Yachticha." Says the Marsha, "Vachim Mifarish La LeInyan Osek B'Tayra B'Chol Makom She'Atim L'Chav Rishus La'Askir Shmi Dehainu B'Derech Limud." You're allowed to say the Shem Hashem Derech Limud. And therefore, when you're learning, you're allowed to say the Shem Hashem. And if you say the Shem Hashem, then Mimela, you're Yotzei the Bracha. Wow. Okay. So great Eitzah. And that's the Psak of the Aruch HaShulchan as well. Simen Reish Beis, Sif Gimel. Nirol Ani Yastaiti, Sheish Takana Medina, Lahotzi Atma, Michol Safek, Bracha Achrona. All the Sfekos that we talked about. The great Eitzah. You just say, Baruch Rachman Amari Malka, De Alma, De Haipita, and your Yotze Birkas HaMotzi. Wow. Great Eitzah. Great Eitzah. It's funny that the Rishonim didn't think about this. So to me, this whole idea, whatever version of it you accept, is very problematic. Because I would have said that the reason why there's no Shaila Bracha Levatala when you say Derech Limud is Gufa because you're not Miskavein Lebracha. You're Miskavein Limud. Some say you shouldn't even say Derech Limud, but assuming you can say Derech Limud, that's because you're Miskavein Limud. And if you're Miskavein Limud, and you're not Miskavein Lebracha, it's not a Bracha. So if it's not a Bracha, it's not Shach Bracha Levatala. But if it were a Bracha, then of course it would be Aser to say Levatala. Because that's the whole idea of a Bracha Levatala. Even though you're allowed to say the Shem Shamayim when it's L'Toeles, but when you use a nusach of a bracha, it's aser, right? That's one way to understand why it's mutter to say brachos derech chinuch, because you're not miskavein lebracha. So when you're teaching a kid to say bracha, you don't have to say Hashem. You could say the Shem Hashem. You don't have to say Hashem. It always confused the kids, and they start to say, repeat after me, ha, 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 and then the kids don't know what to do. No, you're allowed to, when you're teaching brachos, you're allowed to use the Shem Hashem. And it's not a bracha. Why? It's not a bracha levatala, because you're not miskavein lebracha, you're miskavein lechinuch. In other words, it's not the pshat that they were mati bracha levatala letzar chinuch, right? Especially the Rambam thinks bracha levatala is an iser deraisa. It's not the pshat they were mati an iser deraisa letzar chinuch. No, the pshat is it's not a bracha levatala. You could question that particular example. The lashon of the Rambam, you could say, doesn't sound that way. I don't want to go into it. There's a lot to talk about in terms of that. But at the very least, that's the yesod that I would have said. Again, not like these achronim, that it's only a shayla bracha levatala when you're miskaving lebrachos. And if you're miskaving lebracha, then you can be yotzei lebracha. And if you're not miskaving lebrachos, lebracha, you can't be yotzei lebracha, and it's not a shayla lebracha batala. Maybe what the Yismach Moshe meant was you can make a tanai. In other words, you learn and you say, if I'm chayv in lebracha, then this is mechayv in lebracha. And if I'm not mechayv in lebracha, then this is derech limud. Maybe that's what he meant. But anyway, that's why I would have thought that the eitzah of the Pnei Yeshua to say the bracha in English is not a good eitzah. Or he says you could add in Baruch Hashem Liolam, right? That's not a good eitzah. Why? Because, again, the reason why you could be Yotzei Bracha when you say it in English is because it has a Shem Bracha. And once it has a Shem Bracha, then if it's Shalol Letzorach, then it's a Bracha Shein Etzricha, and it's Aser, according to Rambam and Nisar Daraisa. Now we'll see in a moment that Lamaisa, both Rav Akiva Eiger and Rav Moshe Feinstein, didn't like the Eitzos of these Achronim. There's a difference between the way Rav Moshe said it and Rav Akiva Eiger said it, and a very important difference. So I want to get back to that difference in just a couple of minutes. But Lamaisa, they rejected this idea. But basically, what before we get to that nuanced difference, so what comes out, I think, is like this. If you say bracha belaz, and you're mechaving lebracha, and you don't need to say this bracha, then that's considered no se shem shemayim levatala, no se shem shemayim leshav. If you're not mechaving lebracha, then you're not over at all, right? And that's why when we've been learning this whole Gemara, we keep on saying Baruch Rachmana, we're not worried about a shayla of the bracha she'en etzricha, because it's derech limud. Everything is tall in your kavod.
Play it again.
Okay, so I'm sorry about that giant interruption, but Bekitzer, so what am I saying? I'm saying it's telling your kavana. Now you'll tell me, but what if we pass mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana? So Rabbeinu Yonah on Dav Vav Amudala says that even if you hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, hani mi libidav sheyesh bo maisa, shamaisu b'magum kavana, like Netilas Olav, agbenu yatza. But when it's something that's talin amir bilvad, vada etzricha kavana shamir hebeleg, ukshenu machavim b'amira, v'enu osim ha'isa nimtza, k'misha enu asa shum davar mea mitzvah. So that's why, if you're not machavim lebracha, it's nothing. And this, by the way, the Yisod I'm telling you answers up the kash of the Tori Evan on Rosh Hashanah Chav Ches on the base, who asked from the Gemara Brachos Yud Gimel Med Aleph, that over there, it l'chora sounds like, it says if you're saying Shema, and it happens to be, you're learning the Torah, you're carving the Torah, and you get up to Shema, and you're five Shema, you're Yosef, you're Mechav and Libo. And he asks, isn't that going against Rabbi Yonah? But according to what we're saying, it makes perfect sense. Because the reason why you need Kavan al-Brachos, but not for Kriya Shema, is because B'li Kavan, it doesn't have a Shem Bracha. Okay, so I'll call upon him. This is eights of the Pnei Yeshua, the Yismach Maish, and the likings of Hashem. Now, I want to add a couple of points to this. So first of all, we have a very interesting idea that the Torah says, and maybe this is a raya for the Pnei Yeshua, a raya against my holy Yisod. The Torah, Simon Reish Vav, quotes, based off of the Yerushalmi, that let's say I am about to say bracha that I shouldn't say. Natol pri l'ochlo uvir echalav. Enough on me men of an avad, so you need to make a new bracha. So, but what should happen if you notice in the middle before you drop it? So, because you're noticing Shem Shemayim Levatala. V'amar k'shenafal barachat Hashem l'om elokeinu, then yisayim v'yomar lamdeni chukecha she'inir k'kor b'pasuk. V'en kam notzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. So what do you see? You could save yourself from a bracha levatala if all you do is you turn it into a pasuk. So according to me, it's very schwer because kavana levarich is what makes it into a bracha levatala. And here I had kavana levarich, at least at the beginning. So maybe for Rebbe Akiva Eiger, you could be daichon, you could say no. Maybe kavana isn't nikba till the end. Like by Shavuos, if you're chozer at the end, l'chora, it would be okay. But that's not such a great answer. Because according to many, we've shown him the Ikar Brach is at the beginning, like the Rambam says in Perek Ches, Halach Yad Aleph. So maybe we'll say, well, maybe the Rambam disagrees with this idea of the Torah. Maybe the Rambam and the Torah disagree. According to the Rambam, saying Lamdeni Chukacha doesn't help. If you look at the Rambam, actually, Halachos Brachos Perek Dalet Halach Yad, he says, not all Ochel, Uvir Chalav, and Avom Yado, the Nisraf, oh, Nisht, Oshatfo Nahar, no to lach wasn't very chalav. Afal pi shehu meoso min tachlomar barshin for mahusol yolam va'ed. Al bracha rishona. Kedei shalolot zin shalom vatala. The Rambam didn't say the eights of lamdeni chukacha. Why? Maybe it's l'shitaso. Like we were saying before, that there's no way to be misak in it. And maybe the Torah is also l'shitaso, because in Siman Reish Tes, he didn't bring down shitaso Rambam that you could be Yotze, if you're a Messiah in Betaus. So it could be it's a Lishitaso. But maybe you could say differently. Maybe you could say a different fart. If you look at the Lashon of Yerushalmi, the Lashon of Yerushalmi is like this, right? Rabbi Tanachum says, Tzarech Lomar, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Ol Yolam Va'ed, Shelo Lahazkir Shem Shemayim Levatala. So it's mashma that when you say Baruch Shem, it's not Shem Shemayim Levatala. And that's the mashmos of the Rambam as well. But the Torah quotes it differently. The Torah quotes it as, Tzarech Lomar Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Ol Yolam Va'ed, Al Shehotzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. So it's fascinating, right? According to the Rambam, it's Shayach HaTikun L'mafreya, by saying Baruch Shem. And according to the Torah, it's not. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? So if you hold that, so what does the Torah hold? But Lamdeinu Chukecha does work because we go baser his lasho, not his kavana. So for the Torah, maybe you'll say like the basic Pnei Yeshua, it's taloi in the lashon, it's not taloi in kavana. But not so for the Rambam. But maybe you could even say the Torah like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because what's the Torah's lashon? V'im amar k'shenafal baruch ata Hashem, v'lo amar lokenu yisayim yom al-mini chukecha, shiyehen nira k'kari pasuk, v'ein kan motzi shem shemayim levatala. So he's very, very meduyak. If you're messiahing with the pasuk, there's no motzi shem shemayim levatala. What's that iser? That's the iser asay of es Hashem lukecha tira. But that might not be misaking the iser of brach shem tzricha. The Isser of Nosei Shem Shemayim Levatala, right? The Isser of Losisa. Lagabe, the Isser of Losisa, which for Baruch Shem Tzricha, the Rambam thinks is Deraisa, Tosus thinks it's Derabanan, but whatever it is, the Isser of Losisa, there is no Tikkun. Because if I'm Mitchila Machavein Lebracha, when I said Baruch HaTashem, there's no way to correct it. Lagabe, the Isser of Shem Shemayim Levatala, then the Tikkun works. Because by finishing it differently, or maybe even by saying Baruch Shem, you show that you do have reverence for the Shem Hashem. And I think that's the mashmos of the Rambam explicitly in Maseches Shvuos, Hilchos Shvuos, Perek Yud Beis, Halach Yud Aleph. What does the Rambam write? The lo shvua l'shav dovad hu shasura, el afilu lehizkir shem min Hashem osam yuchadim levatala, aser, v'afal pi shalom nishba, shvei akasim itzav yomer, liras Hashem anichbad v'anoira, Oh, But legabe the isa rachshin etzricha, it doesn't help. There's no tikkun. Fine. Let's go quickly to what I said from Rabbi Kiva Eger and Rambam. So according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, this is Madura Kama Siman Chaf Hey. The pshat is like this. I'm going to have to be makatzer. He's trying to answer, how is it shayach bracha shein etzricha bilaz if there's no iser of motzi shem shem shamayim when you say shem bilaz? And he answers that there's two different isurim, like we just said. There's the iser of shvua shav, that the Rambam writes, that you're over bikinoi, you're over, and even if it's nimchak. In other words, if I go ahead and I take a shvua shav, but I don't say it in Hebrew, and I don't even say the Shem Hashem, I say a kinoi, I say I'm nishba b'mish shmo chanun, right? That's still a shvua shav. And therefore, lenyan bracha shein etzricha, which is totally in that, like the Rambam says in Perek Aleph of brachos, so you're over mishem lo sisa. In other words, again, there's tzvei dinim. There's the iser of the mitzvah, iser asay of saying Shem Hashem for no good reason. And that's only going to be if you use an actual shame. And then there's the iser of brach levatala, which is taloi on shvua shav. And that is taloi on whether it would be a shvua or not. And for that, even if you said in English, even if you say shmo shenimchak, even if you say misha shmo chanan, it would be an iser al tshvua and your yotzi al tzbracha. And therefore, avade, at least if you're mechaving lebracha and you say belaz, it's a bracha levatala, if it's levatala. That's the mahalich of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rav Moshe has a different mahalich. According to Rav Moshe, the takana of brachos is that it has to be in the Shem HaMeforesh. So if you said Baruch HaTashakai, or Tzvakos, or any of the Shemos, even Shemos She'enem Nimchakin, you're not Yotze, because they were misakin to say a bracha with the Shem HaMeforesh. And therefore, if you read the art scroll in English, and they translate the Shem Hashem as Hashem, not Yotze, right? If you say God, you're Yotze, because Moshe says Rachmana, the Gemara says you're Yotze. That's the main expression of Hashem's name, of God, in English. In Aramaic, it was Rachmana. In English, it would be God and the like. And even if you hold that you could be Mochik, God, like the Taz says in Yeridea, Kofayim Tes Yud Aleph, but that has nothing to do with it. Since it's the principal name of God, then it's Yotze for a bracha. It's a taka shaila from our Gemara, because we say Baruch HaMakom Shivra'ah. Well, we don't have time to answer that question now. But that's basically the Yisod of Rav Moshe. So therefore, but both Rav Moshe and Rav Kiva Eger both agree to the fundamental Yisod, which is if you're biyotze a bracha, then it would be a bracha levatala to say it in English. And therefore, there is no eitzah to go ahead and start saying brachos in English or reading Sfarim or all those stuff. It doesn't work. Either you're yotze, in which case it would be bracha levatala, or you're not yotze, in which case there's no shayla of bracha levatala. The machlokas between Rabbi Kiva Eger and Moshe is, what do you need to be yotze? According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, anything. If I say a bracha in English, it doesn't matter. I could say Hashem, I could say the Lord, I could say God, I could say the merciful one, I'd be yotze the bracha, if it's a kinoi. And according to Moshe, no, the only time you're yotze bracha in English is if you say God. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Bezos Hashem will continue next time with the bottom of Mamma on the base.